Actually, we will talk about the dynamic of the service. But before I speak about the dynamic of the service, I have a question for you. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he spoke about the gifts of the Spirit. يعني أول حاجة في الإصحاح بتقول Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, etc. So he's speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. And in chapter 14, he continued his message about the gifts of Spirit. 14 verse 1 بيقول Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then all 1 Corinthians 14 is about speaking in tongues and the difference between this gift and the gifts of prophecy, etc. And in chapter 13, actually, he spoke about love. And as you know, love is not a gift of spirit. Love is what? It's fruit of spirit. A great author and speaker like St. Paul, and just bear with me a little bit, shouldn't make this mistake. You know, and he should finish speaking about spiritual gifts, and then he can switch to another topic. And I expect to have chapter 12 and 14 after each other. And after he finished his speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, then he can switch to another topic and start speaking about love. But when St. Paul put chapter 13 in the middle of his talk about gifts of Spirit, is this a mistake or is this inspiration of the Spirit? And if this inspiration of the Spirit, why and what is the purpose of interjecting this passage about love in the middle of his talk about the gifts of the Spirit? Do you understand my question?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
It cannot be a mistake.
It cannot be a mistake. Like, why? Why?
Maybe the people don't get carried away with the gifts and the origin. The gifts is not for self
believe. That's one reason. Eating.
I think you want to see the fruits first and then continuous and more spiritual. Because just being spiritual without fruit is you are not useful.
And that's right, what you said is right. Sadhguru Balhai. Church of Corinth, one of the churches that had many conflicts. And they lose the unity in the church. And it's very strange, normally they lose it, or they lost the unity of the service, I think because of what? Because of the gifts. They have gifts, and instead of using the gifts in harmony together, they start to fight with one another, because of the gift. You know? And that's why they start to divide. That's why, if you read back carefully the introduction to chapter 13, you will understand what is St. Paul is saying. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if I have the gift of speaking in tongues, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So if you have the gift of speaking in tongues, but you don't have the fruit of love, if you are lacking the fruit of love, you will divide against one another. So your punk, the gift of punks there, will be like the sounding grass or clanging silk. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, knowledge is a gift. Sometimes we fight with one another because of our knowledge. I say, this book said so and so. And you're, no, this book said so and so. And we have the conflict here. Some people, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and prophecy is different than prediction. Many people think about prophecy is to foretell the future. Prophecy, no. Prophecy is to tell a message from God. In Arabic, So prophecy means to tell you a message from God. And I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I can do miracles and move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, activity, gift, service, and though I give my body to be burned, they labor a lot and work a lot in the church to the extent even as if they are burning their body in the service of God, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he started to speak about love. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. And all what he said about love here, if you focus on it, you will find love keep the unity together. As St. Paul also, he said about love, it is the bond that ties all the gifts together. And above all these gifts, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, ribat al-kamal. So, like a bond binding everybody with one another, that's love. You cannot have unity without love. Actually, if you have gifts like the Church of Corinth, but you are lacking love, you are lacking God, because God is love. And you will find divisions and parties in the church. And if there is parties in the church and divisions in the church, even if it is in the name of gifts, in the name of knowledge, in the name of what's right and what's wrong, you know, God does not exist. And the focus of God in Ihna to love one another in order to keep the unity. And thus the world knows that you are my disciples if you have love toward one another. And why God gave gifts to the church? Actually, God gave gifts to the church in order to keep the unity of the church. It is our abuse of the gifts of God that make us divide against one another. And if you read the title of chapter 12 that spoke about the gifts, spiritual unity of believers. So God actually gave us the gifts in order to be united. How? Gifts. God gives me a special gift. And God gives you another gift. So in this way, I need you, and you need me. And because of this mutual need, I need you and you need me, then we will be united together. This will keep the bond together. So the gifts were given to the church in order to keep our unity. not to fight because of the gifts. Gifts also were given to us to complement one another. Like in your body, you have the eye, you have the ear, you have the tongue, you have the hand, different organs and different functions, but it is one body. In the same way, in the church we have different services, but it is the same body. And by the way, there is a common mistake. In the ayah we told, you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abide in you. Which is correct? You are the temples of God and the Holy Spirit abides in you, or you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abide in you. هل هي أنتم هيكل الله وروح الله يسكن فيكم ولا أنتم هيكل الله وروح الله يسكن فيكم؟ Which one? هيكل. It's not هيكل. كثير ناس يقول أنتم هيكل الله. هيكل means there are many temples, but actually the body of Christ is one. It's one. It's one body. One body and different members, different organs. And this is the beauty actually of baptism. In baptism, before the baptism, you are individual. Individual, meaning undividable. That's individual. You are independent being. That's individual. After baptism, you are not anymore individual, but you are a member in the body of Christ. So in baptism, you are changed from being undividable to just a member. Your growth and your perfection cannot be completed away from other believers. So you are now a member in the body of Christ. You are a member in the body of Christ. So why God gives us gifts? To complement one another. To keep the unity of one another. Also, God gave us the gift in order to serve one another. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God gave you the gift not to keep it for yourself, but to minister and serve one another. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. It is very, very wrong to keep the gift for yourself. And when you use your gift to serve others, this will keep what? The unity of the body. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. So God gave us a gift to complement one another. God gave us a gift to keep the unity. God gave us a gift in order to serve one another. In order to be a good steward, St. Peter goes, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. According to the Bible, there are two requirements in a good steward. What are the two requirements in a good steward? But something in the third watch of the midnight prayer. Faithfulness, the Daniel.
Love.
This is the gospel of the third watch of midnight prayer. Who is the
wise
and faithful steward? من هو الوكيل الأمين الحكيم الذي يقيم سبع العرب أمين وحكيم. Faithful and steward and wise. What faithful and wise? Think about it this way. If you have a business and you appointed a manager to the business, this manager is your steward, right? Let's assume the manager is very, very faithful, but he's not wise. Because he's not wise, the business loses, right? The business will not make any profit, but he's faithful. He doesn't steal any money. But the end result is what? You are losing because he's not wise. The one is the opposite happened. He's very wise, he's very smart, who is able to make a lot of profit. But he's unfaithful. He's stealing all your money. This the end result is what? He didn't get anything. Because the steward has to be faithful and honest. Faithful, yani you have to make profit with your talents. If God gives you 5 talents, then you have to make 5 talents. You have to make profits. If God gives you 2, you have to make 2. But if you take 1 talent and you buried it, he didn't lose it. Rabbana Allah, you lazy and wicked steward. Al-Abd al-Shahir al-Kasra. So you have to make profit. And number 2, this profit should render it to whom? To God. Don't give the profit yourself. You are as a Sunday school servant. Don't make the children or the students just, you know, attached to you. You have to give them to God. Don't work for your own glory. And you want to be, glorified by everybody. And what is my position? Why I'm not promoted to Ashanaba coordinator? Why I'm not promoted to be so and so? Then I are working for your glory. Like the very, very wise but unfaithful. You want to take the glory from God and give it to yourself. So in order to be a good steward, you need to be wise steward to make profit, but also you need to be faithful steward. The gifts of the Spirit, Ba'ul, it is like a double gift. What do you think? Gift of Spirit, like a jewelry box or like a toolbox? You know, jewelry box or a toolbox?
Generally, it will be just for operation, one toolbox, and you will call it toolbox to manufacture something, then fishing.
Exactly. It's like toolbox. The jewelry box is for all my own adornment, my own glory. You know, I adorn myself with it. So if I use the gift as a jewelry box, you know, I am seeking my own glory. But it's like a toolbox. فيش عم بيمسك مثلا شاكوش ولا بتاع يتزين بيه. نعم toolbox يستخدمه to what? To serve others. So God gives you the gifts not for your own glory, but God gives you the gifts in order to serve one another. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And when we serve one another with the gifts of the Spirit, when we keep the unity through the spirit of love, but the prayer day and our service will be edified. Does everyone receive a gift? Well, some people receive gifts and others do not receive. Everyone received a gift. Fine. What about the non-believers? Did they receive gifts? Yeah. Just for the sake of differentiation, I like to differentiate between two words, gift and talent. Gift and talent. What do you think the difference between gift and talent?
Something given by God, and talent to be used to serve God. Talent is just, again, every human being is born with some sort of talent, but not everyone is a gift.
The talent
is given by God. parents only work on it. Only you take the gift and you work on the struggle in it, and it's reached to be a parent.
بس برضه talented بنقول he's a talented person يعني even from God.
وبرضه بنقول
he's a gifted person يعني. لما عايز يعني for sake of clarification أنا I want to differentiate between what we as believers received on the day of our baptism when the Holy Spirit abides in us. This is what we call the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is given only for the believers on the day of baptism. And I'm not speaking in a gift, they whom we use it, he's a gifted person. Right? Like it's just, I'm going to use the talent for the gifts he was given to anybody, whether you are a believer or not believer. Right? If a talent, just عشان نتفق مع بعض, let us use the word talent for the talents and gifts that God gave each person in the world, whether he is a believer or a not believer. But the believer actually, the believer is or received gift from the Holy Spirit. That's very unique for the believers. And you see this on the day of baptism. If we understand this difference between talent and gift, then we can say what is the difference between talent and gift? Well, the gift is given to the believers, but the talent is given for anybody. Actually, if you are grown up and you get baptized, maybe God uses your talent to be your gift. The talent is like a jewelry box, meaning a jewelry box. I can use it for my own glory. I can use a talent to make money or you know, just to glorify myself. But the gifts shouldn't be used for personal glorification. Gifts should be used only for to serve one another. The third difference in talents is not targeted toward edifying the church of God. Then maybe I'm not a believer, so I'm not going to use the talent to edify the church of God. How can I edify the church of God if I'm not a believer? But the main purpose of the gifts is to edify the church of God. To edify the church of God. So each one with his gift, he will build a place in the church. So we have three differences between gift and talent. In the gift given to the believer, talent to everybody, gift is like jewelry box, toolbox, like the talent is like jewelry box. A gift directed toward edifying the church of God, but the talent not necessarily toward the edifying the church of God. There are four references in the Bible about the gifts of the Spirit. Have you ever heard one? Four references in the Bible.
Romans 12.
لا 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 الفروس of the Spirit. علشان تحفظهم يعني هغششكم. First Peter 4 اللي انا قلتها بايه تاني؟ احفظوا two references. احفظوا two numbers 4 and 12. فانتوا عندكم Romans 12 and First Peter 12. وFirst Peter 4 والايه بقى 4 تاني؟ reference اللي بعديه. It is Ephesians 4, and by the way, Ephesians 4, I think this is a sermon I gave in the service meeting here in Kessel Adel, Chicago, when I came maybe 7 years ago, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. You will eat, and he himself gives some. Give some. So he gave gifts. Some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So he spoke about five gifts here. Why he gives these gifts? To equip, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's going to look at the goal or the purpose of gifts to edify the body of Christ. For God here like a contractor, with servants like his workers. So God give us the gifts. The gifts is what? It is the tools. Ashkel said, for equipping of the saints, for the equipment, that's the equipment. So the gifts are the equipment. In order to do what? For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when you think about the gifts, it's like tools. If I want to build a church or a house like this, one, I send the plumber with the electrician, with the foundation. So they start, instead of working in harmony together, they start to fight with one another. Or they don't work in coordination with one another. Do you think, يعني كل واحد يشتغل كده independent. يجي تعمل electricity يشتغل لوحده، تعمل plumbing يشتغل لوحده. You think that they will ever build the house? Sometimes people do the same. كل واحد يشتغل independently with his gift, not in harmony, not in coordination with one another. That's why we cannot define the body of Christ. It's very essential to work in harmony. It's very essential to work together in unity, so that the Church of Christ will be in the home. We agree that each one of us received a gift. I'm speaking here about the gift of the Spirit, not the only the talents, but the gift of the Spirit. How can you discover your gift? Then discovering your gift is very essential in keeping the unity. لو مثلا I'm the electrician وانا I didn't know that I'm the electrician وانا I have responsibility in building this church to build the electricity and to do all the wiring but I didn't come, I didn't do the wiring so you think this church will be built? No. So if you are not doing your part, if you are not using your part, if you don't discover your gift, the Church of Christ will not be defined. He blamed this person who buried his gift, his talent. And wicked and lazy. Why? Because by him not doing his part, the Church of Christ was not edified. How can you discover your gift? How can you discover your gift? لو جيت قلت لكم, there is a treasure hidden in this church. See, one of two options. Either you're going to believe me, or you're not going to believe me. Now, you don't believe me, say it as just kidding. You will not start searching for the treasure. Like, if you believe me that there is a treasure in the church, كل واحد يقول لي دلوقتي تروح تدور على التريجر مش كده؟ So in the same way, the first step in discovering your gift is to believe that you received a gift from God. The gift is the treasure that God gave you. If you don't believe in it, you will never start the searching process. But seek and you will find. In order to discover, in order to find your gift, you have to start the seeking, the searching process. And in order to start the searching process, you have to believe that you are gifted. God give you a special and a unique gift, given only to you, and nobody can do it except you. each one of us has a very special role, a unique role in the Church of God. But you are not just one person in the Church. No, you are not the only person in the Church. You are an essential element in the body of Christ. طوبة واحدة is missing in this building. دخلها ودخل حشرات ودخل طوبة واحدة. So every single person has a function in the church. So you need to discover what's your gift. The number one. Number two, you need to believe that you have a gift and you start the searching and the seeking process. If you start to search and search and search and search for the treasure and you didn't find it, but you believe that there is a treasure hidden here in the church, what are you going to do? You're going to come to me to only say, give me a hint. Help me to find the treasure. Right? In the same way, who blesses the treasure in you? It's God. So if you start to search and search and search and you didn't find it, then go to God who gives this gift to you. Pray and ask Him to help you to find your gift. Because if you don't find your gift, you cannot do, you cannot become a faithful and always a seeker. So number two, in discovering the gift, you need to do what? To pray and ask the Lord to help you in finding your gift. That's number three. Number three. They want to look, the workers should work under the direction of the contractor. If we have some workers and each one start to work independently, they will never build the house or the building or the church. Who is the contractor? Contractor is God. And God, برضو بيشغل subcontractors معاً اللي هم مين؟ هم أبونا. They are the ambassadors of God. They are the disciples ما بيقول إن إحنا وكلاء سراء المسيح. The ambassadors of God, the stewards of the ministry of God. So, ما يجيش حد يقول لك إيه؟ يجي on Sunday morning يقول لك okay, and I discovered that I have the gift of speech or preaching. I won't use my gift. There has to be some harmony, some coordination. Now, five electricians went and they start to work, you know, without any coordination, the building will never be built. In the same way, you need to go to your spiritual father. For two reasons. Number one, to help you to discover your gift. And number two, to help you to use your gift. He's like the contractor. No, he will assign you your responsibility. Like, and they use your gift in this field, and they use your gift in this field. So he will coordinate all the services in the church. So in number three, I have to go to my spiritual father to help me in the discovery process and also help to use my gift faithfully and wisely. Number four, you have to be willing to pay the cost of the gift. To use the gift, it has a cost. For example, if your gift is to do evangelism in Africa, are you willing to leave your country and to leave the luxury of America and to go and serve in Africa the rest of your life? If you are not willing to pay the cost and to do the effort, God will not help you to discover your gift. Because what's the purpose if you discover the gift? But you are not willing to use it. So one of the very, very important points in discovering your gift is to have the willingness to use it for the glory of God. To pay the cost, regardless the cost is. طبعا انا يمكن الاكزامبل بتاع افريكا از ا ليتل بيت اوف اكستريم بس ميبي ذاتس جادز كولينج فور يو تو جو تو افريكا ار يو ويلينج تو دو ذس ولا لكن انا هديك حاجه صغيره مثلا كل واحد مثلا ايه جيفتد ان كمبيوتر مثلا معلش ابونا يعرف الحكايه دي احسن هيدوس كل شيء اللي كان عندي ده على الرسمه ده بس ابونا يعرف ان انا بعرف الكمبيوتر خد بالك هنا انت اكشلي ايه يو ار هايدنج يور جيفت علشان الناس ما تدوسكش so you are not willing to use your gift for the glory of God. في رول في الطب يسموها ايه الكادر صححوش يسموها disuse atrophy
sure use it or lose
ايه disuse atrophy احنا مثلا why الناس right handed the right hand is stronger than the left hand because you use it your left hand you don't use it that's why it's weaker so if you don't use your muscles it will get weaker مش كده مثلا لو واحد بيتحط في سبلنت ولا حاجه لازم he has to do physical surgery بعد كده لان المسلز حصل لها نوع من الويكنس or if it's for a long time it will be atrophy the same way في الجيفتس if you don't use your gift you will have atrophy in your gifts the gift will start to disappear from your life as if you don't have a gift that's why you need to use your gift with faithfulness and with wisdom in order to edify the body of Christ so to discover your gift number one to believe that you have a gift because believing in it will help you to start the searching process. Number two, ask the Lord to guide you to find your gift. Number three, go to your spiritual father to help you in discovering your gift and also how to use it. Number four, you have to be willing to pay the cost of using the gift. Because if you are not willing to pay the cost of using the gift, God will not help you to discover it. After nota in the Saint Paul differentiated between the gifts of the Spirit and special kinds of the gifts of Spirit in here, what we call signs gift. Signs gifts. يعني signs gifts. Gifts that are accompanied with signs. Signs are like miracles. مش بيقولوا له show us sign from heaven alone. The wicked generation was not there except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. So sign means miracle. How many are the signs gifts? Sign gifts can. The sign gifts are three. Three. Healing, miracles, tongues. These are the sign gifts. ايه الفرق بين الهيلينج والمرأة؟ ايه الفرق بين الهيلينج والمرأة؟ If the healing is miracle, but not if the miracle is healing, correct? Moving the mountain المؤطر is a healing or a miracle? It's a miracle. فعشان كده احنا متفاشلش من مرأة من healing. Every healing is a miracle, but not every miracle is a healing. But which is greater, the divine gifts or the other gifts? Other gifts like serving one another, preaching, here, not has signs. Which is greater? Other. 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 Another bishop upstairs doing miracles. وأنا هنا I'm preaching. This is a gift. So there's a gift here of preaching and there's a gift of miracles. هتعملوا ايه كلكم؟ اطلعوا انتوا تتفرجوا على الملائكة. خد بالك؟ مش كده؟ لكن the bad news is the sign miracles are not greater than the other gifts. Actually, All First Corinthians chapter 15, St. Paul was speaking about gift of tongues as a sign gift and gift of prophecy as a non-sign gift. Sign gifts can deceive many, But the other gifts cannot deceive people. Even Satan can do signs. And during the time of Moses, the magician, they did miracles. And Moses did miracles. It's a simple miracle. And the Antichrist, when he comes, he will do miracles. Look at that. If a man came and he said, I am Christ, and he brought the sacrifice and put it in the altar. Well, if I am Christ, I am asking that fire descend from heaven and consume this sacrifice. And then you'll find fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Would you believe in him?
No.
Yeah, would you believe in him? Why not?
Because the devil can do that.
It is written in the book of Revelation about the Antichrist that he has power to order that fire descend from heaven, as he can do it. قال ولهم سلطان أن ينزل نار من السماء في سفر الرؤيا. عشان كده sign gifts can deceive many people. Also, sign gift can hurt the person himself. Even God was concerned about St. Paul to be hurt by the sign gifts. قال lest I become puffed of the signs God gave me thorn of the flesh. قال ولئلا ارتفع من كثرة الإعلانات ربنا اداني شوكة في الجسد. So even God was concerned with a man like St. Paul, lest he will be elevated or his heart will be elevated because of the signs. That's why he allowed him to have soul in the flesh, just to keep him humble. علشان كده يعني أنا عايز بس أغير حتة ال miracles and sign gifts mentality. We believe in miracles. Again, we believe in miracles. لكن our time right now حصل big deviation في حتة الـ understanding of sign gifts. يجي واحد أقول له اختار الكتاب المقدس ولا نعم كل يوم أقرأ كتب البابا كريبس. كويس بابا كريبس قديس وأنا مستحيل اشتغل اللي مش عارف. And yes, he did many miracles in his life and after his death, after his departure. لكن تفتكر بابا كريبس بفرحان إن أنت you read all his miracles and you don't read the Bible. Definitely not. Pope Carlos will not accept this. Pope Carlos became Pope Carlos because he read the Bible. Because he was praying every day a liturgy. فاحنا اللي قاعدين كل همنا بس نقرا المعجزات ونسمع شوية المعجزات ونعرف المعجزات. And this is the other Bible. That's what we call the miracles mentality. دي like tranquilizer فين كده كده just ان انا to calm my conscience but I will lose contact with God. علشان كده St. Paul was very clear about the sign gifts and he wrote a whole chapter to differentiate between speaking in tongues and gift of prophecy to compare which is greater, which more you can help the people more. فيبقى in order to keep the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the service, I have to discover my gift. I have to use my gift with faithfulness and with wisdom. And very, very important, if you forget the whole lecture, just I want to remember this statement. if you used the gifts 100%, but without love, you are mine. What's going to get you to heaven is not the gifts of the Spirit, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. Judas performed miracles. Judas had gifts of Spirit. When he was one of the 12, and he came to the Lord telling him, in your name we cast out demons. In your name we healed and cured diseases. لما يجي في التلفزيون ويقول لك مش عارف ايه واسم يسوع المسيح ويقع ومش عارف ايه دي shouldn't be a surprise you. ايه اللي بيحصل ده؟ يجوز performing miracles. What will get you to heaven is the fruit of the Spirit. عشان كده قال سان بول earnestly desire the best gifts. You have to desire and to search for your gifts, but yet I show you a more excellent way. Because gifts without love is destructive. Destructive, your special. And to the church, glory be to God forever.
Nice one.
I have one.
Father.
What is the position of Orthodox Church for gift of tongues? When you hear people, they know tongues, and what our position?
As I told you, the gifts has a purpose in defining the Church of God. Do you agree on this? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to defy the Church of God. If I'm building a church like this, we're getting an electrician finished his job. He did all the wiring. After this, they only have a wiring, but I'm working on a hit of barra, we decorate it and set it. Do you think we need this? We don't need it. So once the gifts fulfilled its purpose, I don't need it anymore. The gifts of tongue were given to the people. In certain time in which God wanted Christianity to spread in the whole world, and the apostles, they were illiterate, and in order just to learn the language and to have, you know, many language, this would take time. But Rabbi asked them to go preach the gospel in the whole world. That's why he gives them the gift of tongue, in order to use it. And now they use Christianity spread in the whole world, and each body now is speaking his own tongue, his own language. So, is there any need now to speak tongues? يعني بس كل كنيسة كلها بتكلموا انجليزي. All of us will speak English. يعني يقف كده يقول, God give me the gift of tongue, start to speak, you know, nonsense. هل أقدر أقول إن ده gift of tongue? No, definitely not. It's not from God. It's not from the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of it? The number one. Number two, as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the gift of tongues were spoken languages. يعني ما حدش يقول كده بلا 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 وخلاص. يعني they were speaking مثلا Arabic, Coptic, you know, spoken language. مش كده قال ان it has to be interpreted. لكن اللي بيتكلموا tongues دلوقتي they say nonsense. ما بيقولوش spoken language. فدي definitely it's not from God. وانا مش عايز اقول this is the orthodox understanding of it. عايز اقول this is the biblical understanding of it. يعني because the orthodox understanding is the biblical understanding. We're not against this gift. لكن let us assume in there is need now for certain group, for certain tribe, that a person preaches them in their tongue. And there is a need, God will give it. But is there a need? No. Then God will not give a gift just for showing off, otherwise it will be a jewelry box, not a tool box. Exactly. He learned his own language, so it was a spoken language. And actually, we compare between Acts 2 and Genesis 11. Genesis 11, the Ta'im, They were speaking in tongues, different tongues. Like, what was the difference between Genesis 11 and
Acts
2? عايز اقول لك حاجه. Genesis 11, they were the same people. Same people. From the same nation. From the same country, from the same city. City of Babel. On Acts 2, they were from different nations. Okay. Speaking in tongues in Genesis 11 did what? Divided them. Speaking in tongues in Acts 2 did what? United them. What's the difference? It's the Holy Spirit, the gift of love. Spirit here, I would, لما نتكلم على the communication in the family, I ask them, are you in Genesis 11 or Acts 2? Some families live in Genesis 11, but they're like, my parents don't understand me. Although they are speaking the same language, same family, but nobody understands me in this house because they are living in Genesis 11. Like in, if they live in Acts 2, they will understand each other. They can live in the unity of spirit and in the bond of love.
يمكن سؤال مش في الموضوع لكن الحقيقه ايه راي مفاكم ان في الكتب الاسلاميه المادة كانت دلوقتي عن الاسلام وعن ناس كانوا مسلمين وكانوا مسيحيين هل وجد في الكنائس يعني مفضل او شيء مرغوب فيه؟
I like to differentiate between apologetics and personal experiences. Apologetics, عارفين يعني apologetics اللي هم بيسموه العربي الآباء المدافعين يعني to the defender of faith. Apologetics مش people who feel sorry عشان apology, لا. نقول apologetic fathers means the defender of faith. So definitely we have to have apologetics. يعني books that defend our faith. يعني كان في publication on one of the websites, Islamic website, يتكلم على 101 contradictions in the Bible. This circulated among some يعني Catholic fans and they were disturbed. اللي هو اللي عملهم يقول لك ايه؟ ان مثلا In First Samuel chapter كذا بيقول God moved David to cleanse the people. And مش عارف First King بيقول إن Satan moved David to cleanse the people. So is it God or Satan? فحضرت 101 contradictions. عشان كده to respond to this and to clarify this and to publish it in a book يبقى عندي apologetic book. طبعا الحاجات كلها مردود عليها. There is another Christian website actually replies to this 101 contradiction in the Bible. فالذين موجودين يعني. بل احنا بنسميه apologetic. وطبعا apologetic there are not only in Islam. Apologetic against the heresies. Apologetic against the New Age movement. Against all the, even the current Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, كل الحاجات دي. فطبعا نحن to have in our library and in our bookstores apologetic books is very very recommended in order to understand our faith and to be able to give an answer to those who question our faith. مستعدين لهم جواب كل من يسألكم عن سبب رجالات. لكن أبعد كل واحد امبارح مسلم ومهارده بين مسيحي فيعمل كتاب والناس يعني to invite him ويفضل يوعز ويتكلم. Actually, we have biblical commandment regarding this. Saint Paul said about those who are in service or to preach, and not to be recent in faith, lest he become puffed up. قال ولا يكون حديث الإيمان لألا يتصور. فاحنا بقى فرحانين كل واحد لسه مؤمن أول إمبارح ونجيب ونزل له الميكروفون ويوعظ ومش عارف نعمل له يعمل بايبل ستادي احنا بنضر يعني even if his conversion is 200% if his conversion is 200% بس احنا وهمت هم مش كده الكتاب المقدس كان واضح في الحته دي سان بول himself went through this. After his conversion, he didn't preach immediately. He went 3 years in the Sahara Arabia in order to be defined by God. And after these 3 years of school as the hand of God, تلاحق عجيبة قبل. قبل ما تبتدي يخدم ربنا قال له ايه تروح الجاليشنز. ربنا قال له you have to go to Jerusalem and to share with the church the gospel that you preach. رب ايه اللي بتقوله ده؟ You are the one who taught me the gospel. Do I have to go to Peter and James and John to just approve and confirm my faith? Yes. God who appointed the priesthood and who appointed the church hierarchy, ربنا will not destroy it. عشان كده although he is the one who told Paul directly but he asked St. Paul to go and to share with them the gospel and after they gave him the hand of fellowship and after he was approved by the church by the hierarchy of the church he started his ministry وهنا تقروا in Acts when he prayed and laid hand on him and sent with him Barnabas. مش كده بقى كل واحد لسه امبارح بيمسيح ونجيبه ونخليه يوعظ ومش عارف ويعمل بايبل ستادي ونجيب كتبه ونوزعها ومش عارف يعني محتاجه ان احنا بس to be يعني careful with this. Yes.
Between the preaching versus just sharing an experience of how God touched the person's life. Because I mean, it's hard for us, for instance, to be enthusiastic and motivated about evangelism if we don't see it.
What St. Paul did when he shared his own personal experience? What did he do? He said 2 things. Number one, accept me as a foolish person. ليه؟ Actually, St. Paul, when he shared his personal experience, he shared it in order to defend his apostolicity, that he is apostle from God. Because people said, no, he didn't see Christ. So how you say you are apostle? And if St. Paul was not apostle, then all the churches that he established are not apostolic churches. That's why he had to defend that he is apostle. But he was troubled because he's doing something against what's right in order to share his experience. Ashkid al accept me as a foolish man. Well, you forced me to share this with you. Al-Zamtumuni an aftah. And he didn't want to do this. But at certain moment of sharing the experience, he couldn't speak about himself. So he spoke about himself in the third person. I know man in Christ, whether in body or outside the body, I don't know. But this man was raised into the third heaven. He was speaking about whom? Speaking about himself. But he couldn't say, you know, that man, I went up to the third heaven. فهنا هرجع تاني واقول is it biblical؟ مش هقول is it orthodox؟ لأن البروتستانت يقول لك تعالى يأخر your experience ويقف ولما حصل معايا كذا هللويا أنا أجدا لله orthodox. Is this biblical؟ It's not biblical. يعني سان بول when he spoke about his experience he said I'm foolish. And in a certain moment he spoke about himself in a third person. طيب how we motivate the people of evangelism or إلى آخره. You can motivate them through the history of the church and the biography of the saints. That's why in every day in the Divine Liturgy we read from the Synaxarium, which is the biography of the saints. But these are real stories. And if there is something happened in your life and you want to share it in the third person. Say, I know a man that happened with him so and so and so on. But it is not biblical. It is not biblical to say, speak about yourself. It's not biblical. Even the martyrs, they never wrote anything about themselves. Actually, Yunus al-Ahfasi, the one who wrote down their biography, the monks of the desert fathers didn't write about themselves. Their disciples wrote about them. So, to share your own personal experience and to speak about it, it is not biblical. It is not biblical. It's against the teaching of the scripture. Clear?
Yes. Getting back to the topic of speaking, I'm reading the First Corinthians 14. It seems to be a very interesting chapter. And it talks about in verse 2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mystery." So when someone speaks with tongues, it is mysterious, but if you hear them in public, it's not the real gift. It's misunderstood. It's only, tongues are only, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, tongues are only not understandable when you're speaking to God. But it's for, when it is understood, it's for bringing people who are outside of the church who don't speak that language like the apostles said. Is that correct?
No. If my native language is Hebrew, and I'm going to preach in Egypt, so God give me to speak in Coptic, because I'm preaching the Egyptian. Many times the words that God put in my mouth, I myself don't understand it, because it's not my native language. But when I speak to the Egyptians, they will understand what I'm saying, because I'm speaking their language. So, if I have a Coptic tongue, but I am a Hebrew, so, if I'm sitting among Coptic people, Hebrew people, now if I spoke in Coptic, nobody will be defined. But because it is given to me by the Spirit of God, I will feel the power of the words, although I don't understand it. But this doesn't mean that this tongue is not a known language. St. Paul is telling you, it's a different instrument of music. They are different. But when you hear it, you can say, this is a harp. This is guitar. In the same way, every language, you can say, this is Arabic, this is Coptic, this is Greek, this is English, this is French. But maybe I don't understand. I have the tongue, but I don't understand it. So, but because it is given by God, so I can feel the power of it. So this is what it defines me. But the hearers will not be defined unless they understand the language that I'm speaking with.
I don't understand that. So, because in verse 2 it says that he who speaks to them does not speak to men but to God.
So, in this specific situation, I am Hebrew. And I have the gift of speaking Coptic language. Okay. But now I'm not in Egypt, I am in Israel. The gift is not departed from me. The gift, I have it with me. So I can speak with Coptic. So if I speak with Coptic now, I'm speaking to whom? Definitely not to you, but to God. Because these words are the words of the Spirit that God put in my mouth. Like, how this tongue is a known language or a known language? This is a very important question. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, like St. Paul, in verse 7, even things without life Even things that life like musical instrument, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet they used, is trumpet for what? For war. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? If the sound of the trumpet is not different than the harp, when I hear the trumpet, maybe I say this apart. Like if the trumpet is distinct from a harp, I say now there's a battle. I have to go to the war. So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking in the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I don't know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. In this verse, St. Paul makes it very clear that every tongue has to be distinct, understood, and a known language. In the tribes of Africa, between tribe and tribe, there are different things. God said to the English, speak English. And suddenly God said to the French, speak French. And said to the German, speak German. When he came to Africa, I don't care about him. Because it's a different ليهم بطول اسمه بقى لما جيت احكي لكم ليهم حاجات كده لطيفه في حاجات مش عارف اللي اسمها ايه كوسه لاك مش عارف ايه حاجات كده very interesting هذه كلمه بتاعتكم لكن even this language has a meaning it is a kosa so if you can get it's a gift of kosa like it's understood by
you talked about recognizing the gift or the gift of God to give how about is there a danger of not recognizing all the gifts that we've received? I think the parable of the talents, maybe God has given me 5 talents, but I only recognize my 2 talents, and come to God very proudly and see I've returned 3 more, but I still return 10 because I haven't recognized all the talents and gifts that God has given me.
If I'm seeking diligently to know my gifts, and if I am humble enough to submit to my spiritual father, God will reveal to me. Then God is not an author of confusion. God doesn't want to confuse us. I'm the bishop, and I want to give you 5 functions in the church. You know, I will make it clear you are responsible 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Then I don't want to confuse you. Unless if I feel that you are not interested to know, then I'm not going to tell you. In the same way, if you are diligently seeking to know your gifts, God will make this very clear to you. God, as St. Paul said, is not an author of confusion. Yes.
Well, I have a question about this. I feel that in the Catholic Church, often the attitude of servants is to try to accommodate everyone. So for example, if we're leading the service, then we want to ask all the people what they want us to discuss, what topic they want to hear about. But shouldn't a gifted servant know better how to discern the needs of the people rather than asking them what they want to hear? We ask the Holy Spirit to help us discern what they need to hear. I feel like oftentimes we just try to please everyone, all the servants and all the people being served as well.
Yes, sometimes we do this. We try to please the people, to tell them what they want to hear. But in the proper setting, if the people are guided by the Holy Spirit, and the servant is guided also by the Holy Spirit, then there will be harmony. You know, what they want to hear is the same what gonna speak to them on the mouth of the speaker. Like in, what you mentioned reminded me with a spiritual disease. St. Paul mentioned in second letter to Timothy, chapter, I think it's first letter or second letter. The second letter of Timothy, chapter 4. Chapter 4. اللي هي the allergic ear. لو انت if you have allergy in your ear هتلاقي your ear is what? Your ear is what? It's itching. لماذا بتغرش فيها? Itching ear. Then one of the signs of allergy is itch. ناس عندهم allergy to the sound doctrine. So when they hear the sound doctrine, it irritates their ears, makes them itch. In allergy, usually, there's two options. Either to avoid the source of allergy, or to try to desensitize yourself to the source of allergy. If I'm allergic to the sound doctrine, and I choose option one, which is to avoid the source of allergy, what's going to happen to me? I will fall into fables. So the only option that I have in Anna to desensitize myself to the source of allergy. And how I desensitize? By repentance. Because I'm allergic to sound doctrine, because sound doctrine troubles me, irritates me. That answer Paul Allah, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine will bother them. But according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they have allergy to sound doctrine, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They were on a teachers, telling them what they want to hear. They're like, no, I'm going to change my spiritual father. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to him to tell me what I want to hear. We've hired an abdu'atraf in the family, the third, the rabbi. About there, we got it from one church to another church to third church. Maybe got from denomination to denomination to denomination until he finds somebody tells him what he want to hear. But in the end, they will heap up for themselves teachers according to their own desire, but they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside into fables. And the best example, we have King David and King Herod. Both of them were irritated by sound doctrine. When Nathan came to David, you are the man, the sword will not depart from your house, your son will die. This was very, very troubling to David. In the same way, when John the Baptist came to Herod, it's not lawful for you to marry your brother's wife. He was irritated by this. But what is the difference between David and Herod? Herod couldn't endure the sound doctrine, so he avoided the sound doctrine. He killed John the Baptist. That's why he perished. But David actually, although the words were very irritating to him, the sword will not depart your house. It's very irritating. But he accepted, and he started to repent, to desensitize himself to the source of allergy. That's why he became our teacher, David, the pure apostle, the pure prophet. Samuel, Dawood Nabi, al-Malik al-Tahir, the pure prophet. Are we killing John the Baptist? Many of us who kill John the Baptist. I kill the voice of truth. He goes, my parents, يقولوا لي حاجة في البيت, and I don't like it. You know what? Just when I'm going to 18, I will move out. Why? Because I want to kill John the Baptist. The sound doctrine irritates me. Just I want to move out. In order to heap teachers, my friends, according to my desire, tell me, that's good, you're right. just be careful with this spiritual disease, itching ears. Itching ears.
I will go back to the sharing the special experience for the personal experience with God. No, I would think that, like, the Samaritan woman, when she met Jesus, she knew who he is. She then started to talk about him. She said, I met a Messiah and told him everything about my life. I thought sharing personal experience with God is for the benefit of supporting the faith of others. And it goes along with what you were saying, like, you know, an hour ago about the support groups and that. You know, if somebody has a special experience, they help somebody else to encourage them.
When some people share, like the Samaritan woman, or like St. Paul, when he shared, they shared their weaknesses. Yeah, and when she said, تعالوا إن سام قال لي كل ما فعل, what did she do? She had five husbands, and now she lived with a man, it's not her husband. So she didn't share something to glorify her. She didn't share something, you know, to glorify her, but shared, you know, her weakness. St. Paul, when he spoke about his own personal experience, but I, who was a blasphemer, persecutor for the Church of God, analyst كنت قبل المجدفا ومفتريا ومضطهدا لكنيسة الله. So, if you want to share such kind of experience, I have no problem. Actually, St. Augustine wrote his confession in a book. لكن انتو دائما يعني احنا كلنا we are very, يعني لكن انا مش عايز اتكلم على الاعترافات, يعني الاعتراف بالنسبه لي ثقيل ولو ابن الحاجه للناس مش عارف ايه, لكن if you want to share your confessions, there is no problem. But not share. زي مثلا Paul shared, زي Samaritan woman, that's what they shared, their confession. They didn't share their, يعني, virtues. ده اللي انا بتكلم عنه. لكن usually when we share our experience, يقول لك انا كنت بصلي, حسيت روح خد استحرك فيا, روح خد شجع فيا. That's big glory. Yes.
Thank you.
Could I say
something? Yeah, I was going to ask. What's the best way to continue to strengthen the gift, or to make them, to, you know, I know you said that lack of use, and so obviously use.
But use.
I know, but is there a way to even get them stronger? Are there other ways beyond just use, just use?
Just when you use it wisely, faithfully, with love. These are the three points. Wisely, faithfully, with love. It will grow and grow and grow and grow for the glory.
With guidance from God.
Guidance from God and through spiritual father. This is the that men who are subcontractors.
I don't want to know if I'm using the gift that I shouldn't be using. God has intended me to be a plumber, and I decided to give to a Christian. That's what I want to do.
Again, with submission to God, with sincere heart that seeks diligently the will of God, and with the direction of spiritual father. يعني لو الثلاث حاجات دولت موجودين, I will never be confused. Again, as I said, God is not author of confusion. If he wants you to be a plumber, believe me, he will tell you are a plumber. Unless I have a deaf ear, I don't want to hear it. I just be an electrician. I don't want to be a plumber. I insist my way. وابونا يقول لي, نو يا حبيبي, اخدم في الخدمة دي. قول له, no, انا عايز ابقى في البورد اوف تيكر. يا حبيبي, بس طب اخدم في الخدمة دي. No, I want to be a Sunday school coordinator. يا حبيبي, طب اخدم في الخدمة دي. No, I want to be preaching on Sunday. That, when I insist on my own way, here, ربنا هنا, he will leave me to my own desire. But if I seek diligently and sincerely his will, and I'm willing to accept the assignment of God, whether it is plumber or electrician or whatever, and I submit to my spiritual father because I hear God's voice through him, again, God is not author of confusion.